Hey, this is Megan from Swish and Flick. I wanted to tell you all about Book of the Month. I love the curated list of books that is available every month. It makes it so easy to find something for you. Book of the Month focuses on new and upcoming authors. It's really helped me to venture beyond my regular genres. I am so excited at the start of every month to see what Book of the Month has picked. And what's better than getting a cute blue box in the mail with a book in it? I was so excited to see this month The Paradise Problem by Christina Loren was a pick. You guys know how much I love their writing. I've already started it, and it's everything you could expect from a Christina Loren novel. Book of the Month is offering a great intro offer for the month of May. You get your first book for $5 with the code PETALS, P-E-T-A-L-S, and shipping is always free. Head on over to bookofthemonth.com and use code PETALS.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Tiffany here from Swish, and I want to talk about being a problem solver. In my classroom, I'm always telling my ICFirsties to be problem solvers. In first grade, that's one thing, but in adult life, it's a whole other. It can be really difficult to train your brain to go into a problem-solving mode. Maybe you don't even know where to start. It's a challenge that we all face in life. But when you learn to better help your brain find solutions, it's truly a great feeling. And if you've ever been thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. BetterHelp is convenient, it's accessible, it's affordable, and it's all online. And on top of that, they match you with a therapist just by filling out a brief survey. So when you want to be a better problem solver, therapy can get you there. Visit betterhelp.com/swish today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/swish.
Welcome to Swish and Flick, an All Potter podcast.
Swish and Flick. Everyone? Swish and Flick.
Hello and welcome to episode 88 of Swish and Flick. I'm Tiffany.
I'm Megan.
I'm Katie.
I'm the artist formerly known as O'Malley.
That was a good one. I liked it. No one else laughed. Awkward. This episode is sponsored by, Deidre. Thank you.
Thanks. Also, she posted in the group that she was at Universal. She had a Swish and Flick shirt on. Represent. So thank you.
Nice.
And two, she got to meet Tim Tracker from YouTube, who I know that you guys probably don't know anything about him.
Don't know who you are.
I love him, and I'm so jealous that you got to meet him. That was super cool. Thank you for posting the picture.
Was it?
Appreciate it.
Super cool.
It was.
All right. Today we will be discussing chapter 17 of Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, The Four Champions. So make sure that you have read the chapters and you're ready to hike on into the details.
Ooh, we're hiking.
Wait. Sarah News.
Yes. This is a giant spoiler alert.
Oh my gosh.
We're the four champions and I'm the winner.
I'm fine with that.
You can go see Voldemort all you want.
Yeah. And you can die.
I'm not the
Actually,
other one.
Katie would be the one that dies.
Oh, like, my gosh.
I am not a spare.
I would hold her back from touching the cup and make sure she doesn't win.
It's like she loves me.
It's almost or like hate that.
You. She doesn't want you to win.
She didn't know you would go to die.
She doesn't know you're going to die.
I knew what I'm a Slytherin. I know what the outcome is.
Because she's evil.
Yeah.
Because you're it. Because you are a Death Eater.
Yeah, but I would protect her, you know?
Evil.
But here's the thing. Before we continue, I just want to say for Voldemort and Valor.
For Voldemort and Valor.
Let's go.
Whew.
Weekly Prophet.
What's happening?
All right. Well, before the Weekly Prophet, I want to give a shout out to a listener who sent us an amazing package.
Oh, it was great. I loved it. It was so cool.
Where is that package?
Yeah. I sent you guys pictures.
I forgot to bring it today, but I will.
Of the wands.
Oh, yeah.
Those are great. But legit. Thank you for not bringing them today.
I know. My bad.
Truthfully, though.
Can I give a shout out to this kid who made us personalized wands and recreated the Swish and Flick wand in real form for us? It's absolutely amazing.
They're beautiful.
His name is Matt. And like the detail and thought that went into these wands is just like I was mind blown opening this. And I sent pictures of the girls and like explained everything to them, like what he put matches each of us. Like it has like our initials somehow on there, or like a symbol that references like something about our personalities. And like Tiffany's has a paw print on it for Fozzie. Pools. Mine has a paw print on it for Iggy. Katie's has a little cat face on it for Teddy. Sarah's had like
Sarah a shamrock and a skull.
Yes. A shamrock. Yep. So, and like he even...
Because you're tired.
He even like picked the woods for certain reasons. Like it was just so awesome.
He picked the woods from his backyard, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's say that next time we're together, we'll bring it and we'll record.
Well, we're going to do
show everybody.
We were supposed to do this yesterday and I forgot about it, but we were supposed to record a mail opening vlog because I thought that that would be a really cool thing that we could do every now and then where we get together and look at everything that's been sent to us and like, you know, thank everybody who has done it all together instead of just like through message.
I have a request for our songwriters. I want a song about mail for Swish and Flick.
Ooh,
to the tune of the Blues Clues.
Yes.
I like it.
Yeah.
Thank you and good night.
Can we eat more stuff on a vlog? Is that still a thing?
Sure. Yeah.
Bridget gets a British snack box every other month.
It's been a little
Every month. We eat them.
It's tasty. I too would like to eat snacks.
Snacks.
But Matt.
So yeah, just thank you, Matt.
Thank you so much.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
And I want to get one of those like wand things that we can hang on the wall with like all five of them. Because there's ones that hold five and we can put the Swish and Flick one in the middle and then ours is going to be beautiful. I'm really excited.
You think that you get to have my wand anywhere that I am not?
Why did I say I was going to hang it in my house?
I'm not saying you'd say I want it in my own home. I
think
my
that it should
wand.
Be in our
in the
space that we're together.
That I want my wand with me.
Okay, whatever.
Because that's what wizards tell you to do. Why would you leave your wand somewhere that leaves you defenseless and that it's not a smart decision
to
make?
Well, we know where not to keep it.
In your back pocket.
Yeah.
Because
Moody.
You'll lose a cheek.
I mean, let's be honest. I don't really have a cheek anyway. So.
Not face cheeks. Moving on.
Okay.
So the weekly prophet is this crazy news that I found on CNN. It's been all over the place the past couple days.
Yeah, it has.
About a rare Harry Potter book sold for almost $100,000 at an auction in London.
That deserves a million dings, but
we'll give
skip
you
it
one
to save your ears.
So before you start ransacking your bookshelf in hopes of getting a huge stack of galleons, you should know how rare this book was.
Tell
it was
me.
A first edition, first impression of the novel that introduced muggles to Harry, Ron, Hermione, and the rest of the Hogwarts gang in 1997. It was one of only 500 copies that exist, and it once belonged to J.K. Rowling's first literary agency. The book had a couple typos to make it even more unique. The word philosopher is misspelled on the back cover, and Harry's list of required school supplies includes one wand twice.
Two wands?
What? That's awesome.
So the book sold for $90,000 and $90,074, and the new owner may want to take it to Gringotts for safekeeping.
Do we know who purchased it?
No, it hasn't been announced who did.
Jeez.
But yeah, that's just, I mean, that's amazing.
That is super amazing.
Whew,
that's a lot of cash. Yeah. Alrighty, Rue.
That's all I got.
Tiffany. Katie.
Look me in the eye.
Look me in the eye.
Give it to me.
That was so tame.
I was gonna go really like, but then I decided to just
tone it down.
I think last time I was like,
oh boy.
I don't want to blow anybody's ears out of their headphones today.
All right, so last time was the chapter. We were introduced to the hot cup of fire.
Sorry.
I'm envisioning it being a person. Like, can't shake hands. It's a little hot.
So students entered to become their school's champions. Fred and George tried, but nope, they just grew beards. And after the Halloween feast, it was time for the goblet to select the three champions. But surprise, surprise, there's a fourth champion because what? Harry found himself in another mess he couldn't explain. His name came out of the goblet.
Like,
poor Harry. Literally everything happens to this kid.
Poor guy.
Yep.
Harry. So they are in the room where it happened, and everyone is trying to figure out how Harry's name came out of the goblet. Pretty much everybody's angry and confused about it.
Really? Except Dumbledore.
What?
He's not very angry.
Nobody.
He's pretty calm.
I'm gonna actually. Can I
hold on? We'll get there.
When we, I have an opinion and a pepper about that. Ooh. But he's probably confused.
Yeah,
truth.
So there. But realistically, there's nothing they can do about it because it's a binding contract.
Magical.
Which makes me think of something else, but whatever. So Harry must compete. There are no ifs, ands, or buts about it. So Harry has some thoughts about the coming events, and Ron just wants to know how he did it. But Ron doesn't believe him, and Harry is not pleased.
You've just gotta believe. Yeah, that's wrong.
No.
SpongeBob.
I don't know what that is.
I don't know that either.
Get out of here.
Sorry.
SpongeBob.
Mandy the Mermaid. Never heard of him.
People
the
movie. Get it.
I don't understand.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, yeah, now I'm hearing it. Yep.
Thank you.
Now that we're men, yeah, we can do anything. Now that we're men.
Oh my gosh. All right. That's the first one. Harry is stunned. He's sitting there in the Great Hall and everybody's looking at him. Not the first time. And he was sure that he was dreaming because something like this just absolutely could not happen to him, right? No one clapped. There was like an angry buzzing sound of people starting to talk. And people were actually standing up to look at him.
Poor Harry.
I feel so bad for him. Like, people just, I don't know. If I had people staring at me all the time, one, because I have a scar on my head. And then you have this, so it like intensifies it. Plus people are mad. No, thank you. So I pulled something called an unexpected champion, and I believe that this was from Pottermore. I can't remember because I copied and pasted.
Did he go on an unexpected journey?
I think he did. Although every tournament in history had only ever had three champions, Harry Potter found himself chosen as the unprecedented fourth. The other three champions were,
what word do you hate?
Unprecedented.
Oh, I thought you were like saying fourth or something. No, it's such an odd word to hate.
Were Fleur Delacour of Beauxbatons, Victor Crumb of Durmstrang. Well, how did Doomstrang?
Dormstrang.
Dormstrang. And Cedric Diggory of Hogwarts.
You're going down.
It's actually Hogwarts.
I thought it was even Hogwash.
Hogwash.
It's been a while since you've had an opportunity
I know.
For that.
Anytime she gets
me. I know.
I just love Queenie. I just have faith in her. I know. Need to bring her up all the time.
Mm-hmm. I bet she's going to die.
Oh my gosh.
I think there's going to be some sads.
There's going to be, I mean, that movie made me cry multiple times.
Wait,
so,
yeah. Some sad sads?
Yeah. Some sad sads to be sad about. McGonagall wasn't going to have any of this. She gets up from the head table and goes right to Dumbledore, who leans in to listen to her whisper, and he's frowning slightly. And I said, could this be his reaction to his reading of the signs? Is this like, oh, that was
oh, here's, you know, the start.
Yeah Okay. So Harry looks at Ron and Hermione and the entirety of the Gryffindor table, and they're all just gawking at him open mouthed. I feel so bad for Harry.
Yeah.
So he's like staring blankly, and it says, quote, I didn't put my name in. You know I didn't. And I said, my heart hurts for him because they both don't say anything.
But I think they're just too shocked.
Let me get there.
Well, Hermione is shocked.
Okay, well, I'll talk about Ron.
Okay. So they just stared back at him, and I said, I know that this is just their initial reactions, and they can't help it, but I just wish they would have snapped out of it faster and supported him right then and there. Yeah. And I have some feels. So Dumbledore calls his name again, And Hermione gives him a slight push, getting him moving, and he's stumbling slightly on his robes. First of all, that's awkward in general, too.
It would happen to me.
What do you mean?
I would, like, get up and just do something worse to...
Oh, okay.
I would have fallen on my face,
yeah,
probably.
Something, you know, yeah. Just to make it worse already.
Yeah. Meg?
I just think, too, like, thinking about all of, like, what is going through everybody's heads right now, you know 99% of everybody in that room is assuming he did something to break the rules.
Oh, yeah. And it's, of course, it's Harry Potter, so of course he was able to do it, and he's going to get in and do it.
Right. And, two, it doesn't help the fact that he has a professor that is constantly saying, like, portraying him as the person that wants all that fame and glory. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Snape. It's like, you know.
Yeah.
Yes.
Plus, I was Malfoy thinking Lockhart for a second, and I was like, he's not here.
He's not there.
Who's Lockhart again?
He doesn't know.
He's your famous Ravenclaw.
Let's not discuss Ravenclaws and the fact that we're so underrepresented.
I posted a great picture of him on Ravenclaw Day, I'm just saying.
Oh, my gosh.
Imagine.
I had a better one, but it wasn't appropriate.
Oh, my God. Imagine, speaking of reactions, imagine, like, the sear of jealousy that Draco would have had at this moment.
Oh, it's so bad. I can't get away with this.
And the Weasleys, and Ron, though. Yeah. Like, because both Fred and George later on in the book, or in this chapter, Fred's, like, half annoyed at him and half, like, really impressed. Because he's, like, he wanted to.
They're different than Ron, to me, though. Like, they would be more frustrated that he wouldn't have told them how he did it. But they're not going to hold a grudge. They're not those kind
of
guys.
Well, I think part of it with Ron is that he thinks that Harry did it. And is like, why wouldn't you tell me? Like, I could have entered too, kind of thing. Like, why didn't you?
Yeah.
We're supposed to be best friends. I think that's part of it, among other reasons.
All right. Moving on. So, feeling like a very awkward long walk, Harry heads into the room, and hundreds of eyes are on him now. Quote, as though each were a searchlight. And I said, oof.
It's the worst.
So the buzzing of the voices grew louder and louder, and his walk seemed like an hour. And then he was in front of Dumbledore and the whole teaching staff. Quote, well, through the door, Harry, said Dumbledore. And he wasn't smiling. I said, yikes. Oof. To make things even worse, Hagrid just stared at him as well. And he went through the door and was in a smaller room. There were paintings of witches and wizards in a roaring fireplace. And the paintings began to spread the news. So I wanted to read a little bit from the chapter. It says, the faces in the portraits turned to look at him as he entered. He saw a wizened witch flit out of the frame of her picture and onto one next to it, which contained a wizard with a walrus mustache. Picture that. The wizened witch started whispering in his ear. Oof. So Fleur assumes that Harry is in there to deliver a message to them because he is obviously younger, and there's already three champions. Harry doesn't even know how to begin to tell her what had just happened. And then in comes Ludo, and at first, like, Harry thought... Ludo thought that Harry being chosen was the best. He said, extraordinary! And he announces Harry as the fourth Triwizard champion.
I hate that word.
What?
Fourth.
Oh my god.
What?
They're making fun of me.
Oh. Sorry. So Crumb's face darkens. Cedric looks nonplussed, which is like surprised and confused. I had to look that up. And they're all just unsure as how to react. Fleur tosses her hair and thought that it was just some funny joke. Can you imagine how Harry feels? Like, somebody he thinks is great, Crumb, is like mad. It says his face darkens, which I assume is like a grimace kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Cedric is no reaction, like just surprised, confused, like
thunder.
Yeah. Fleur thinks it's a joke.
I like that you're calling her Fleur.
Fleur.
Fleur. Whatever, you guys. I really genuinely can't say things. You want to laugh at people for not being able to pronounce things. Can't wait for the blue.
I think he's just looking for someone to just be like, I believe you, and like, we're going to help you out of the situation, because he doesn't want to be in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He wants someone to just be like, I can't believe it. Are you okay?
He's not going to get it.
No one's giving him support. So Bagman's like, nope, this is not a joke at all. Let me read. Well, it is amazing, said Bagman, rubbing his smooth chin, smiling down at Harry. But as you know, the age restriction was only imposed this year as an extra safety measure. And his name's come out of the goblet. I mean, I don't think there can be any ducking out at this stage. It's down in the rules. You are obligated. Harry will just have to do the best he... And then in comes the crew. And I said, it's the moment we've all been waiting for. On to you, my dear.
All right. So.
There it is.
We have.
There it is, number two.
Oh, my God.
Should we start digging for that?
Yeah, honestly.
Dumbledore, Madame Maxime, Karkaroff, Professor McGonagall, Professor Snape, and Mr. Crouch are the crew that come walking through the door. So our girl, Fleur, insults Harry by saying, they are saying that this little boy is to compete also. And Harry feels a ripple of anger, even though he's, like, really numb right now because he's in shock. That causes him to feel a ripple of anger at him, at her calling him a little boy, which honestly, like, he's only 3 years younger than you. Come on.
Yeah, but she's like legally an adult and he's not.
She's like legally not a very nice person in this book. Ooh. But the heads of the other schools are honestly rightfully upset, in my opinion.
I agree.
We already know that the Wizarding World is very competitive with this tournament, and now Hogwarts gets two champions, so two chances to win over their one chance. And, like, honestly, it upsets me that they're more so concerned about how now Hogwarts has a better chance of having a champion than them instead of Harry's safety.
They don't care.
I feel like in the past, this tournament was probably just full of lies, deceit, cheating.
True.
And whatnot. Oh, I mean, we see it now. But, I mean, yeah. we will see.
I mean, why would they care about how he's going to do and his well-being if they're willing to have these kids go in a tournament where people have been killed? Correct. So many so that then they were like, oh, all of these people have died during these tournaments, so we should probably stop it. Like, they didn't care. You know what I mean?
I think that why I'm a little surprised that they didn't care at all is because of how much thought went into setting this tournament up for success this time around. Like, in the past, that is the way that it was. But how many years has it been since it even happened? So, like, the fact that they took all of these precautions to make sure that it would be safe and to make sure that people only of age 17 would enter. Like, honestly, like, Karkaroff and Madame Maxime, I don't think cared about the age limit. They just wanted to do it. Because you can see when they are talking here, they say, we would have brought more people.
But, like, regardless, like, take everything away, including, like, the age line, what were the other precautions? That was it. That was the only precaution that I see.
Did they change?
No, they changed the tasks to make them not as dangerous. They still had
a battle dragon.
So imagine what they used to do.
That's what I mean. Like, they're still doing things that can kill you. They're battling dragons. They're in a lake where they can't breathe if they're under there for more than an hour.
Hey,
I know, but I would imagine that they'll bail people out.
Do you want to know why? Because Joe wrote it.
Well, no, I think that, yes, they're still doing dangerous things, but they had people there to help in the situation had it gone awry. They wouldn't let someone drown to death.
Wouldn't they?
I don't think that they would have.
But, like, we don't know. Like, the dragon could have eaten the kid. You know what I mean?
They could have seen that
progressing.
That's a
risk we're willing to take.
I think all
I'm saying is that
I think they were more willing to jump in and step in if something were to go wrong, because in the maze they were like, oh, if you're in trouble, send up Sparks.
Like, I don't think that would have ever been an option.
I'm sure they were watching.
They had people patrolling.
How did they know how did they not know until they came back that was a Porky? You know what I mean? Like, didn't they see them touch the cup if they were watching?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Moody was one of the people watching, and maybe he made sure he was where Harry was.
Ooh.
I just don't think that they cared enough about any of their, any of the children's likely, because they wanted their glory. School to be the one with all the glory and all of who we won. I don't care if my champion died.
Yeah, at least they would have died in a whatever. You know, honorable.
Yeah,
some crap.
Yeah. All right.
So Karkaroff says, two Hogwarts champions. I don't remember anyone telling me the host school's allowed two champions, or have I not read the rules carefully enough? Madame Maxime says, Hogwarts cannot have two champions. Hogwarts. It is most unjust. And then Karkaroff again says, we were under the impression that your age line would keep out younger contestants, Dumbledore. Otherwise, we would, of course, have brought along a wider selection of our own schools. And then Snape butts in and says, "It's no one's fault but Potter's, Karkaroff. Don't go blaming Dumbledore for Potter's determination to break the rules. He's been crossing lines ever since he arrived here."
Gosh.
And dang. Dumbledore quickly cuts him off and says, "Thank you, Severus," firmly.
My boy.
I do have a question, though. Like, because he asks him about, like, did you have another student put it? Like, would that have worked? Like,
apparently.
Like, that's
I think they're
stupid.
Putting trust in the students to not do that.
That seems like, I don't know.
I don't
but
know.
But, like, I'm sorry. I
wait,
would
wait,
done
wait,
it.
Wait, 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 because I don't remember. Does he ask him in front of other people?
I'm about to. Yeah. Yeah, he does.
It's just a question to appease the masses. He knows that wouldn't work.
But does he?
Y'all, please. He knows that wouldn't work.
What are you doing?
Fixing her earring.
Earring in.
I didn't even know you had earrings in.
All right, so here it
Thanks
is.
Thanks for noticing me. Gosh.
The moment we've all been waiting for.
Do it justice, baby.
Did you put your name in the Goblet of Fire, Harry? Dumbledore asked. Calmly.
Calmly.
I don't hate it. I prefer him being yelly.
What? Oh, no.
Oh, my God. He comes flying in there, knocking stuff off. Harry, well,
that's not my
I like it because I think that instills in Harry, like,
this is
more
real.
Fear. Yeah.
No, like, I feel is, like,
the, I like it.
The way that Dumbledore is right now is more like, had Harry figured out a way, it would have been massive disappointment, which is worse.
Like when your parents are like,
yes,
mad at
I feel like this, like this is Dumbledore. Him saying, did you do it? Just very straightforward to the point. Did you do this? Harry says no. Did you ask an older student to put it in the Goblet of Fire for you? And Harry says no, italicized, emphasizing no, I didn't.
Yeah, Dumbledore is just asking these questions in front of these people just to have asked them. He knows that none of this is true.
Right.
I still love the movie better. I won't lie.
I mean, you can love the movie better, but what I'm saying is, like, don't come at us and be like, you know,
yeah,
would that have worked? That would have been way too easy of way to, yeah. What do they say? Hoodwink the cup?
Realistically, I think the way they did it is really easy. He just confounded the cup. Like,
yeah, but
he did it, more than that.
It's probably advanced magic to do that to such an
a student can't just go up to it a and magical say, confund
this. But we're also saying this about the book where the kid got the Sorcerer's Stone when he was 11 years old. Like, they're thinking all of that magic is going to keep people out, and 11-year-old got through.
But as we've said, she's like, Harry normal, was kind though. Of set up to go through those tasks, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, like, the way that, like, again, like, we've said a couple times, like, we think Dumbledore was testing
but
Harry.
Here's the thing. Even if an adult got through all of those chambers and then finally got to the mirror, there's only a special kind of person that could have actually obtained the stone. So exactly. It doesn't matter whether they got through the others. The end was obviously the mirror, which there's only, I think, a few people that would actually have been able to, with pure of heart, to get that out.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, I still disagree with you. I like that he was yelling in the movie.
What are we still? I wasn't talking about that.
I disagree with all of it.
With what?
All of it.
None of that was about the yelling.
I just think he wants to disagree.
You just lost 10 minutes off your tickleback time.
What, me giving you one?
No, me giving you one.
You're never gonna give me one.
I was gonna.
Madame Maxime says, but of course he's lying. So then Madame Maxime goes in and accuses Dumbledore of incompetence with his age line. And McG is angry at that assumption, shuts it all down by saying that we need to believe Dumbledore. And so next up, Karkaroff gets Mr. Crouch and Mr. Bagman involved, asking them their opinion. And you can tell here, like, how excited Bagman is. Like, he's, like, sweating with excitement.
Loves the drama.
I think
he loves Harry.
Well, A, he loves the drama. This is kind of, like, my theory here. A, he loves the drama. B, he loves that he can make a relationship with Harry and try and make money off of this. Because he's like, ooh, Harry's in this now. I like him. I'll feed him information and I'll make money off of it. I'm going to gamble. So, like, I think that's where his mind goes to first is like, ooh, this puts even more odds on this competition. I'm going to make even more money because we know that he's addicted to it. Mm-hmm. So, but Mr. Crouch is not so excited. He looks dark, probably scared, honestly. They worked so hard to make, like, this is, I think, what's important to Mr. Crouch. They worked so hard to make this tournament safe, and now it's basically all gone down the tube. Like, all of that work that they did leading up to this, it's just, like, shot. And
it's going to, you know, it could reflect.
It's going to reflect on him. Exactly. Yeah. So Crouch says that they must follow the rules, and the rules state clearly that the people whose names come out of the Goblet of Fire are bound to compete. And I have a theory here. Do you think that Crouch is being controlled by Junior to ensure that Harry must compete?
Oh,
like with how he's answering his question, because we know that at least later on in this book, he is controlled by Crouch Jr.
Right.
That's a really
like,
good
I know
question.
That there's a binding magical contract, but at the same time, like, I feel like of all the people who could have figured out a way around the contract, it would have been Crouch.
The person that
and because,
seemingly created it.
Right. And like, because he was so focused on keeping this safe and keeping it, you know, how they all agreed for it to be, I don't think that his reaction to this happening is very him.
That's an interesting thought.
Like, I feel...
I'm not sure.
it's kind of out there, but, like, maybe his reaction and him saying, like, no, maybe he really does,
but,
you know,
but
there's
like,
no way around it.
What is, like, how closely related are, like, is, like, an unbreakable vow and a magical contract?
Right, I don't know.
Isn't an unbreakable vow a form of a magical contract?
Oh, yeah.
It is, yeah, but it, like, has to do with death. Like right, if you like, don't
but we don't know
what would be the consequence if
right.
say you put your name in, even you like volunteered and then you got picked and you're like, I changed my mind.
That's
I don't think
where,
you would.
Yeah.
But what are the consequences? Is
that's
it death?
Why I kind of feel like what there's probably some way out of it, but they're making it seem like there isn't.
Well, but I think if there was a way out of it, he wouldn't have done it. Like Harry would not have had to do it.
Yeah, I agree.
Why wouldn't
that.
He have had to do it?
Because he was too young.
Like,
well, no, that's what I'm saying. That's why I'm saying, like, maybe the only person who would have known a way around it because they created the contract would have been Crouch. But he's being controlled to say, oh, nope, there's no way out of it.
Or is it a continuing contract that's like an ancient contract from the beginning and their names
maybe.
Just get attached to it
that's
as
possible.
The years and tournaments
yeah,
go
like,
on?
I don't think they have much control over... Once your name goes in there, regardless, like, it's a hard rule. And maybe that's part of the reason why so many people died. Maybe they were like, we didn't want to continue on. Like, maybe the first task was too whatever for them.
It's like Jumanji.
And they...
You gotta finish the game.
Right? Maybe that's their souls. That's the... flames the cup.
I don't...
I just feel like deep. They're... for
what
especially in the beginning...
Moody's behavior or Judy's behavior is at this time?
Well, he kind of is, like, just in the shadows right now.
I
because
if
after
he's
this
non-verbal.
Happens, he comes up and starts talking.
Interesting.
So it's like, you know, Crouch... Here, let me find it really
I
quick.
I like it.
Crouch comes out and says... Karkaroff is saying, I insist upon resubmitting the names of the rest of my students, said Karkaroff. He had dropped his unctuous tone and his smile now. His face wore a very ugly look indeed. You will set up the Goblet of Fire once more, and we will continue adding names until each school has two champions. It's only fair, Dumbledore. Hold on, right before that. Right before that is whenever Crouch says... And it just says he spoke in his usual curt voice.
Mm-hmm.
We must follow the rules, and the rules state clearly that those people whose names come out of the Goblet of Fire are bound to compete in the tournament. And that's it.
I can
but
see.
Also,
and
like, then, it's just him. Like he's very much a rule follower to the point where he even put his own son in prison for being against all of it. You know what I mean? Like very much like he's not going to break it for anybody.
I mean, I could see it either way. Truthfully, but I've never thought about that before, and
it's
I
just
really like that.
In this moment, I feel like he wouldn't be his normal curt self because he's got to be really frazzled.
Yeah.
Like in you, we know how easily he gets frazzled throughout the rest of this book,
right?
And then you know, and then that's whenever Karkaroff and Bagman are talking about redoing the names, and then Bagman says, "But Karkaroff, it doesn't work like that. The Goblet of Fire's gone out, and it won't reignite until the start of the next tournament." And then Karkaroff is like, "In which." We will not be competing, and it goes on and on. Then it says Moody had just entered the room. He limped toward the fire, and with every right step he took, there was a loud clunk. Convenient? I'm afraid I don't understand you, Moody. Oh, wait. Gosh, I'm messing up. He says, empty threat, Karkaroff, before he enters the room. So, like, he's already talking before he's entering the room, so I'm kind of envisioning him as, like... He's by the door, like, in the shadows, and now he's entering this area where they're talking. So, like, yeah. He was there. because he was listening to their conversation, and now he's adding his part in the conversation.
Yeah, because he was just out with the teachers, right?
Yes. So then Moody comes in at this point and interjects, basically, to get Cockcroft and Madame Maxime to shut up. He goes, "Imagining things, am I?" growled Moody. "Seeing things, eh? It was a skilled witch or wizard who put the boy's name in that goblet." "Ah, what evidence is there of that?" said Madame Maxime, throwing up her huge hands. "Because they hoodwinked a very powerful magical object," said Moody. "It would have needed an exceptionally strong confundus charm to bamboozle that goblet into forgetting that only three schools compete in the tournament."
And he's basically she's basically telling us right now how Judy did it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, woo! Yeah. You're telling us how you did it. And everybody overlooks it.
And he says, "I'm guessing they submitted Potter's name under a fourth school to make sure he was the only one in his category."
See, that was stupid for him to do that. And why didn't anybody figure it out then? Come on, Dumbledore. Love you.
I think, again, because Moody is just known to think that way. Like, he is known to think the way that a dark wizard would think. And then Karkaroff interjects and says, "You seem to have given this a great deal of thought, Moody."
Well, Karkaroff, I guess, did call him out. You know?
"And a very ingenious theory it is. Though, of course, I heard you recently got it into your head that one of your birthday presents contained a cunningly disguised basilisk egg and smashed it to pieces before realizing it was a carriage clock. So you'll understand if we don't take you entirely seriously."
Shout out to Basilisk.
Oh, gosh.
Basilisk.
Basilisk. Floor. I like the floor.
It says, "There are those who will turn innocent occasions to their advantage," Moody retorted in a menacing voice. "It's my job to think the way dark wizards do, Karkaroff, as you ought to remember."
Oh, burn.
"Alistair," said Dumbledore warningly. So, clearly Dumbledore wants to shut this conversation down because he can see a fight is going to ensue between Karkaroff and Moody.
It's my main man.
And again, I just find this interesting to point out that, here... Yes, Moody and Karkaroff would have a bad history because Moody put Karkaroff in there. But this is Judy who we're seeing, and they also would have a bad history because Karkaroff is the reason why Crouch Jr. got put in Azkaban.
Dude, layers.
So, his anger towards Karkaroff is warranted no matter who he is at this point, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then Dumbledore, just to kind of wrap it all up, says, "How this situation arose, we do not know. It seems to me, however, that we have no choice but to accept it. Both Cedric and Harry have been chosen to compete in the tournament, and this, therefore, they will do."
Done and done.
Bagman's psyched, and he's probably thinking of all the things he'll be able to bet on.
Honestly. All right, I think this is my turn to do this. It's not, and I'm doing it again, sorry, you have to listen to me. It's ad time. Attention, dear Swishers. Adventure is out there.
Ta-da.
Why would you settle for ordinary chain store coffee you can just go to the store and get anywhere when you can have an adventure in every single cup with Expedition Roasters? Yeah. They are artisanal roasters of pop culture coffees. So now you can experience a little theme park magic every day at your home. Each theme bag features custom artwork by a guest artist that make it perfect for displaying in your kitchen or office. So try some of their premium wizarding roasts like Booksmart Blueberry, Charming Chocolate Cherry, Cunning Caramel Crunch, or Big Hearted Butterscotch. All their coffees are certified gluten and allergen free. So start that coffee adventure today at expeditionroasters.com. You can use the coupon code SWISHFLICK15 and you'll save 15% off of your first purchase. Brew your happy place.
Yes.
Do it. I just discovered yesterday how much I like this is not Harry Potter, it's Disney related, but the redhead rum flavor. It's so good. And it's very reminiscent of butterbeer, I think. So
really?
It's really good. I was shocked at how much I liked it. Mm. I'll bring it over.
That's okay. Yummy.
Next recording session.
Sounds good to me.
Today's show is brought to you by Audible. Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook with a 30-day trial membership. Just go to audibletrial.com/swishflickcast and browse a selection of audio programs, download a title for free, and start listening. Why Audible? Audible contains an unmatched selection of audiobooks, original audio shows, news, comedy, and more from the leading audiobook publishers, broadcasters, and entertainers. You can get all 7 of the Harry Potter books, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, Quidditch Through the Ages, and more. I listen to the Harry Potter books on Audible all the time on my long drives to and from work. and it helps me not go crazy in a car for 2 hours a day. So if you want to sign up and get one audiobook for free, you can pick whatever book that you'd like and go to audibletrial.com/swishflickcast.
Do it.
Yep. Guys, grab your coffee. Sit down with your AirPods.
Hey.
Hey.
Listen to some books. Got some of those. Super nice for your listening ears.
Mm-hmm.
I want them.
Yellow.
Hey, excuse me.
I'm sorry.
Why do you always do that?
Because you're married. Pretty much. That's what people do.
Third time, ready? All right, so. The rules and first task. First task is November 24th. It's in front of all the other students and the panel of judges. No big deal. No pressure. The champions cannot ask for or accept help of any kind from their teachers. Yes.
Sarah.
Yeah.
What day of the week is this November
24th? I'm pretty sure it's on the...
Are you looking for it?
It was a Thursday.
Thank you. I love it. I didn't know that's what you were doing.
Okay. It's literally right there. I can see it. That's awesome.
God, I love it. Jeez. Sorry, Katie.
They can only bring their wand to that first task on that Thursday of November 24th. And it's designed to test their daring, so they won't be told what it is at all. After the first task is over, they'll get information about the second task. And because the tournament is so demanding and time-consuming, the champions don't have to do end-of-year tests. I guess that's kind Jelly. Of cool for risking
Dude,
your life. I don't know.
Get real.
He never
Gosh.
Takes tests. Ari always gets off.
Right, I don't know. For real.
Does he take them once? He takes his
Third
owls.
Year he does it. Third year he does it because he takes the
you're right,
Lupin's
right. Yeah, one
test.
And two are canceled.
So he takes two.
He takes three. He takes OWLs.
That's
what
it.
About six?
I don't remember.
I wonder if they got canceled because Dumbledore dies.
I don't know.
I don't remember. And then
yeah,
seven,
two,
he doesn't go to school.
Two to three.
This is why we're doing the reread.
Yep, pretty much. Dumbledore asks Mr. Crouch if he's sure he doesn't want to stay at Hogwarts tonight. And Crouch is like, nope, I got to get back to the ministry. Difficult times at the moment. He, quote, left young Weatherby in charge. Mm-hmm. Very enthusiastic. A little over-enthusiac, if truth be told.
I said that's interesting.
I'm sorry. I have to add something that I literally just thought of because go of Percy. So... His report on Cauldron Bottoms, right? Yes. Neville burns through, like, what, six?
Yeah.
Remember? And yeah. then someone was like, well, his report must, like, it means something. Neville's burning through these cauldrons.
True.
I don't remember who said that, but thank you. Someone did.
Tiffany, the great Percy defender.
I mean, somebody's got to stick up for him.
I find it funny that, like, he's a little over-enthusiastic. Like, I mean, I guess, I don't know.
He's going to take whatever he can get, and he's going to run with it, and he's going to do his best.
I actually feel a little bit bad for Percy in that situation, because, like, he really is just trying to, like, he is over-enthusiastic, but he's just trying to, he's trying to prove himself.
Right.
It's like Hermione, when you only have, like, you know, 60 inches apart.
Yeah,
she writes,
she's
like
12.
Like, you know, 3 Danny DeVito's length.
Yeah.
Had to throw it somewhere.
If there's no measurements, we'll create one.
We will figure it out. Dumbledore tries to get him to at least have a drink before he leaves, encouraged by Bagman, of course. It's all happening at Hogwarts now, you know. Much more exciting here than at the office.
Jeez.
But Mr. Crouch isn't
so
having
it.
Dumbledore goes to extend the offer to Madame Maxime and Karkaroff, but they're both, like, already leaving. They're angry. And Dumbledore's like, Harry, Cedric, you might want to go off to bed. I'm sure Gryffindor and Hufflepuff are waiting to celebrate. I know, right? I'm sure Harry, and we find out Harry wants to do nothing of the sort. I like this description that Harry feels like the inside of his head is in complete disarray, like his brain had been ransacked. I mean, this kid's been through a lot in the past. This has to have taken less than 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Cedric asks, well, how'd you get your name in? And Harry's like, I didn't. I was telling the truth. And Cedric's like, yeah, okay. We'll see you later.
Yeah.
He doesn't believe him. I will apologize on the behalf of Hufflepuff for that, because that's not cool. And then I wanted to read from the book. Was anyone except Ron and Hermione going to believe him, or would they all think he'd put himself in for the tournament? Yet how could anyone think that when he was facing... when he was facing competitors who'd had 3 years more magical education than he had, when he was now facing tasks that not only sounded very dangerous, but which were to be performed in front of hundreds of people. Yes, he'd thought about it, he'd fantasized about it, but it had been a joke, really, an idle sort of dream. He'd never really seriously considered entering, but someone else had considered it. Someone else had wanted him in the tournament and had made sure he had entered. Why? To give him a treat? He didn't think so somehow. To see him make a fool of himself? Well, they were likely going to get their wish. But to get him killed, was Moody just being his usual paranoid self? Couldn't someone have put Harry's name in the goblet as a trick, a practical joke? Did anyone really want him dead? Yes.
Where is it? An idle sort of dream. No, sir, it was a vision.
Oh, Tiffany. Oh, Tiffany.
Tiffany. He did actually dream about it, though,
correct,
right?
Yeah. Yes.
And I think we all agree that he's a seer. He saw what was coming.
We need a shirt. You're a seer, Harry.
You're a seer, Harry. It's going to happen. Just keep reminding me because I forget everything.
You're a seer, Harry.
Oh, my gosh.
Immediately, Harry's like, yeah, of course there is. Voldemort. He was supposed to be far away somewhere in some distant country, hiding, alone, powerless, weak. And yet, Harry's dream showed things differently. Voldemort and Wormtail had been together, and they were plotting his murder.
Not a dream. Also, I want you're a seer, Harry, with some glasses.
No, you don't want glasses. Do a divination ball.
I like that.
But do like maybe do both, the things that like the things that are holding up the ball could be like. Well, no, that'd
dragon.
Be too, I was gonna say there would be two.
Egg.
Too crazy. I was gonna be like, you could have Ron, Harry, and Hermione holding it up.
Just like a crazed Trelawney underneath.
I love that.
Alrighty.
It's my turn.
Say it.
Don't spray it. So I got a question for everybody. Have you ever been like so in your head when you're going somewhere, like walking or driving, that you just completely like
and then
are not aware and then you realize before you even get, like this happens to me all the time, where you're at your destination and it's like you almost don't know how you got there, like it was on autopilot.
I literally hate that. It scares
it really
me.
Scares me because it happens to me in the morning when I drive
and
listening to a book on Audible.
Yeah,
it actually has to do with like your brain and is like and the whole thing like very, I don't know, I watched this TED talk about it, it was fascinating. Anyway, so this happens to Harry because he's, before he knows it, he's staring at the fat lady, and he's like, whoa, bro, how'd I get there?
Whoa, bro.
And so the little fat lady has a guest. Her name's Violet. She's turning Violet. And she's told her kind of like the gossip of the night, and that Harry is the fourth champion. But Harry like ignores her because she like tries to like, oh, you know. You're the champion, like snottily to him. Just says the password, which is Boulder Dash, and she gets offended, like the lady Violet does.
Yeah.
And then the fat lady is like, no, that's the password. Like, she's like, I can't believe you would say that to me. So the door opens, or like, you know, he gets into the podcast. What is wrong with me? He gets into the common room.
Special guest Harry Potter on the podcast.
The noise hits him, like, to the point where he's almost blasted, like, backwards. But he gets pulled into the room, and there people there are very excited. So Fred seems that he's a little annoyed, but also very impressed, saying Harry should have told him that he entered. And then George is like, well, how'd you do it?
See, I like how they're matured more than Ron, obviously. But like up front, this is how I feel.
But they also have had time. You know what I mean?
That's what I said. Like they're older, so they're.
No, I mean, literally just from the however long he's been down there, from the moment that they said his name, that first reaction, they've had time to sit there and like go through and like now they're talking. You don't even, do you get what I'm saying?
So has Ron.
Yeah, so has
now,
Ron.
Yeah, but like we're not there yet. All I'm saying, his very first reaction.
We're just talking about Ron's reaction.
No, I'm just saying, like, I like that they said how they felt.
Yeah.
Like,
sometimes
you should have told
your feelings
how you
is hard.
Did. Well, sucks.
He's also however old, 14.
Do it. Tell them how you feel.
All right. So Angelina is happy that if it wasn't her, she's happy that it's a fellow Gryffindor that got picked.
I like that, Angelina.
And I spelled everything wrong in that sentence.
Yeah, I know. I'm very offended.
You spelled Gryffindor wrong.
I spelled Gryffdor.
Gryffindor.
Gryffindor. So they have puff, food puff. And they're like, eat, Harry, eat. And he's like, dude, literally just had a feast, not hungry, also went through some stuff, not hungry.
Like, went through some stuff.
All he wants to do is go to bed. And so from the book, it says, but nobody wanted to hear that he wasn't hungry. Nobody wanted to hear that he hadn't put his name in the goblet. Mm. Not one single person seemed to have noticed that he wasn't at all in the mood to celebrate. Lee Jordan had unearthed a Gryffindor banner from somewhere, and he insisted on draping it around Harry like a cloak.
What if it was also at one point draped over James?
Maybe.
Cool.
I think that would be sweet.
Well, I know his... invisibility cloak was draped over James.
Yeah, okay, but I'm just saying.
Okay,
this Gryffindor says
Gryffindor. So Harry couldn't get away. Whenever he tried to sidle over to the staircase up to the dormitories, the crowd around him closed ranks, forcing another butterbeer on him, stuffing crisps and peanuts into his hands. Everyone wanted to know how he had done it and how he had tricked Dumbledore's age line and managed to get his name into the goblet. But he didn't do it. And if he'd done it, how could you tell him he was wrong?
Wow, yes! How could you tell me that I was wrong?
So he's like super over it and he's just tired. And so he tells him he's going to bed and he just really wants to find Ron and Hermione. Mm. So he's finally able to escape the common room and he finds Ron in their room.
And Ron says, he had it coming.
Oh, jeez.
Well, this is what he says. He's like, where have you been? Harry said. Oh, hello, said Ron. Sorry, that's not funny, but it is funny.
You are so awkward.
I know. So he was grinning, but it was a very odd, strange sort of grin. Harry suddenly became aware that he was still wearing the Scarlet Gryffindor banner that Lee had tied around him. He hastened to take it off, but it was knotted very tightly. Ron lay on the bed without moving, watching Harry struggle to remove it. So, he said when Harry had finally removed the banner and thrown it into a corner, congratulations. What do you mean, congratulations, said Harry, staring at Ron. There was definitely something wrong with the way that Ron was smiling. It was more like a grimace.
Show me your best grimaces. I wish you guys could see.
Yay. And so Ron's like, how did you do it? How'd you get over the line? Ask him, like, did you use the invisibility cloak? And Harry's like, it wouldn't have worked, dude. Ron says, oh, right. I thought you might have told me that it was the cloak because it wouldn't have covered both of us, wouldn't it? But you found another way, didn't you? And Harry's like, dude, I didn't put my name in the goblet of fire. Someone else must have done it. And then they're like, well, what would they do that for? I don't know, said Harry. This is not funny. He felt it would sound very melodramatic to say, to kill me. So, I got something attached to my elbow. It's not part of the book. And then Ron was like, it's okay, you know, you can tell me the truth, he said. If you don't want everyone else to know, fine. But I don't know why you're bothering to lie. You didn't get it. Hold on, I can't read. You didn't get into trouble for it, did you? The friend of the fat ladies, that Violet, she's already told us all that Dumbledore's letting you enter. 1,000 galleons prize money, eh? And you don't have to do the end of the year test either. And Harry's like, I didn't put my name in the goblet of fire. And he's starting to feel really angry. And then he was like, Ryan was like, you know, I'm not stupid, you know. So then Harry snaps back Ooh! With, you're doing a good impression of it.
Oh!
And so then Ryan then tells Harry he should get some sleep before the photo call or something in the morning. So he like shuts his drapes.
What a very unsatisfying way to like storm away from an argument.
Oh, but I kind of think that is satisfying.
No, I want to slam a door.
Like, closing the curtains. Like, don't talk to me.
No, it's not a satisfying. Not for me, at least.
I would do it wrong.
At least it's satisfying more so than just like turning over. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, what an impressive flop.
So Harry's left standing by the door still. He's looking at Ron's bed with the curtains closed, and he's left with a strange feeling. He was sure that Ron would have believed him. It literally says in the book, He says that now hiding one of the few people he would have been sure would have believed him.
Dude, that blows.
It's so sad because in my section, it, literally the first thing he thinks of when he's walking back is like, I need to find Ron and Hermione because they're the only ones that are going to have my back. I know everybody else doesn't. Yeah. And then he goes to talk to Ron and it's not the case.
I just...
Ron. I would hope that if I really didn't do something and I told my best friend that I really didn't do it, they better freaking believe me or you can kick rocks, friend.
Is that a saying?
It is now.
You know, I
kick rocks.
I really love Ron, like, as a character overall, but I cannot stand him in this book.
There are parts of it.
It makes me sad that he was this way. Like, thankfully he grows up, but like, just like seeing this side of a character that you really love,
I mean,
sucks.
It's his jealousy is so bad the Horcrux uses it against him.
Yes,
like that's how but thick like, it is.
Yeah,
he's for me
I
just see a lot of myself in him, like with the insecurity. You know, he is the youngest boy, so he's ever known as hand-me-downs. He sees all of his brothers going and doing things, and you know, he doesn't see his own greatness in himself, where he thinks that, like, I never have any money and I never get anything new. And it's either all of my brothers have done all these wonderful things, whether they were like head boy on the Quidditch team, going and working in all these places, working with dragons. And then there's Ginny, who just kept, not that she gets everything handed to her, but she's the girl. So she kind of gets like, you can't have your brother's old robes. So like you get newer robes. And yes, she also gets some hand-me-downs too, but it's like totally different, and she gets probably treated differently again because she's the only girl. And then you become best friends with, and the youngest.
Yeah.
And then you become best friends with Harry Potter, who has, no matter what he's done, he is have all that fame and glory of just being the kid that defeated the Dark Lord when he was a year old. And now you almost are always like the side character. But like, you have to realize, like, he should realize that he is not the side character in his own story. Does that make any sense?
Yeah,
so like I feel for him because like at this point in time, you're an emotionally hormonal teenager and you think that your best friend might be keeping this huge lie from you. Not saying that he is any of this is good, but I mean, he and also was thinking like, I really could have used that money. Like my family could have used that money and Harry doesn't need it. But I mean, I don't know.
I know.
I kind of feel like Ron wouldn't have shared the money had he got it.
No, I don't think so either. And, you know, I get like I get what you're saying about like his jealousy and everything. But like you should, as a friend, you should never let your jealousy interject in a friendship like that. That's ridiculous.
It sucks that it does.
He's also a kid, though.
Yeah.
Still.
I get it. It just sucks.
He learns.
It just sucks.
He learns.
It sucks for Harry. It sucks for Hermione. Not for
but Harry doesn't Seamus handle that whole thing well whoever. Either. Like now, the two of them are fighting; they won't even talk to each other.
But imagine how Harry feels.
Yeah, I would probably react the same way.
I'm sorry, I'm 1,000% on Harry's side in this situation. Like you go in there thinking that you have the one of the two people that you are 100% positive will have your back, and then they don't because of their jealousy.
Harry shouldn't have went in like, "Where were you? Where have you
Correct.
Been?" Or whatever.
I agree. Like. He came off hostile in the beginning.
He should have came in and been like, oh my gosh, I don't like this is happening, blah, 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 blah. It just could have been handled different
if,
and avoided.
If they communicated in a more effective way, it would have been completely different.
Yeah, Katie.
I will say there were other ways that Harry could have handled it better, too, because I think just in the next chapter, Harry pretty much just says, like, he's not going to go chasing after Ron. Like, he has a thought to, like, almost stop him and, like, be a bigger person and be like, hey.
He's just as stubborn.
He's just as stubborn.
Well, and I think,
there's fault on both sides.
Correct. With their fighting, they know each other so well. And, like, I know for me sometimes, and I don't do this much anymore, but, like, when I was a kid, when I was younger, and I would be fighting with my sister, like, I would know exactly what to say to her to, like,
crush her,
hurt her, or, like, make her even more angry. So I would purposely say those things. They probably aren't even true, but, like, I knew that those are buttons I could press to, like, you know, essentially make the fight even longer or whatever.
God,
so
man.
I'm sure that Harry and Ron, like, they say things to each other that they know is hurtful to each other, you know?
Kids, because I know we have kids that listen, do not be like that.
Yeah.
Just be cool, man.
Just talk.
No fight is worth it. Is what's happening right now going to be worth it in a year? Mm-hmm. Think about that. Because sometimes the answer is yes. Sometimes the answer is no. Think about it.
Think about it. Thus ends the chapter.
We have some lightning bolt round questions. questions from our
Discord.
Patrons in Discord.
Send us more.
Yeah, send us some more. All right, so Pasha has a few. She asks, Andre, if we had Ludo Bagman in the films, who would you want to play him? Danny DeVito. No.
He would be a very...
He's not tall enough.
Well, no, but if he was tiny... If he was tiny, he would be super fast as a chaser, you know? And then, like, I just picture kind of, like, because he's a little bit bigger, like, nowadays... Oh.
Chris Pratt.
No, but think this was like if it was made when they were made.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
I'm trying to think of someone with a really boyish face.
Sarah Chase says Dick Van Dyke.
Oh, what
He's
about
got a good personality
what about
for it?
Stanley Tucci.
Oh yeah,
because he played Caesar Flickerman. Really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the right guy, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
He would be good.
He could be funny.
He would be really good. That's good.
Usually I don't have any celebrities.
I still just like picture him as the murderer in Lovely Bones sometimes, though. And I'm like, oh, God, he creeps me out.
The fact that you can play that and then play Caesar Flickerman.
I know. He's
pretty awesome. All right. Does each Tri-Wizard winner get a new cup once they live? Is there only one cup that stays in the same location between championships?
I think it's just one.
She said once they die. LOL.
Oh, did I miss that?
No, she just fixed it.
Oh. New cup once they die. Oh, I don't know.
I think there's just the one. I don't think they actually get to keep it.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, win. Once they win.
Got it.
Do they get a new cup once they win? Is there only one cup that stays in the same location? I think that once you... I think everybody gets their own.
Yeah, but, like, I think that you're winning the Tri-Wizard Tournament. You get money and whatever else they said.
Yeah, but I feel like the cup is, like, the trophy.
I'm thinking of the goblet. I apologize.
I think that there's a new cup for each one.
Maybe a new cup. Because it's not as... The goblet's old. The cup is
right.
Not?
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's a good question.
They don't say.
I always envisioned it as the trophy that you would win.
But is it kind of like where, you know, some people... Like our roommate, for example. He has a... fantasy league that he does with whatever they put like a plaque, they have a plaque on it, they get it engraved with like a person's, whoever that year's winner is.
Yeah.
So do they pass around the same cup or is it a new one?
I kind of picture it like a Grammy. You know, everybody gets one.
You get a Grammy.
You get to put it on your mantle for the rest of your life. I won the Tri-Wizard Tournament.
Yeah, maybe.
Speaking of the cup, if you were the cup, who would you choose to be your three champions? Of each house.
Angelina Johnson.
Of each house.
Oh.
Three of each house.
No.
Three of each house?
Yeah.
All right, Gryffindor. I would still pick Angelina Johnson. Probably Fred Weasley. And...
Poor George.
Lee Jordan. Because they're the only ones we know.
Right? Yeah, we don't know them all.
No, and Katie Bell.
Okay, can't name any Slytherins that are old enough right now. Besides Marcus Flint.
Well, technically none of the ones I named were old enough. Well, Angelina was.
True.
Fred was close.
This is too hard. My brain can't handle it.
This is hard.
Hufflepuff.
Ernie Mac.
Ernie Mac. Hannah Abbott.
Jay Finch.
Set a digger.
Jay Finch finching around.
I feel like we don't know enough people.
Right.
Or like older people. We only know like 1 year.
Who do we Ravenclaw. Know from Ravenclaw?
Roger Davies.
Roger.
Cho Chang.
Luna and could win it.
Luna
could win
Slytherin,
it.
Slytherin, Draco, Goyle Crab.
Think of like, think of Luna being against a dragon.
She would be like,
hey, can you like lay down so I can get that egg?
I brought you a piece of raw meat.
I will give you some nice pets.
I mean, I just really love that egg, and you're just so beautiful, you know.
Yeah,
she would
talk it out of it.
Yeah. Sarah asks, I understand the 1st of September needing to be on a Monday, but why did she pick the 24th of November to be a Saturday? Is that a special number? Actually, Oh, and then she's like, actually, 24th of February, right? Second task.
Oh, so are all the tasks on the 24th? Oh, is the third one the 24th of June?
I don't know. Sarah.
Possibly.
I don't know.
I'm surprised she's not like...
I don't know why
actually, she picked I don't know. 24 doesn't... I've never seen that because we've done a lot of number research in the beginning of the podcast, especially, and 24 didn't show up. But I don't know. Good question.
We have no other.
I have no... Yeah. Oh, one more. Which character's response to Harry being chosen as a champion would be most similar to your own?
Probably Hermione. Like, I'd be super shocked, but then I'd be like, get up and go. Like, you gotta go.
I agree. I think I'd be like Hermione.
Yeah. I mean, I'd be like Hermione because I would believe. If you said you didn't do it.
If my friend says that they didn't do something, then they didn't do something.
Yeah.
I'm also not gonna like... throw you a party unless you're showing me that you're excited about it.
Right. Like, if you want me to just, like, sit with you and talk about something totally different, I'm down for that. If you want to get your mind off of it.
Yeah. I think Hermione really shows her friendship to Harry in this book.
Yeah.
Big time.
I feel like this book is where all of the Harry-Hermione shippers came out. This is where it started to happen, I think, for them. They were like, yeah, Harry-Hermione for life.
What do you think, Sarah?
What was the question?
Which character's response would be most like your own?
I don't know, probably Hermione's. It also depends on which friend, if I believed him or not. Like, if I had a sneaky friend.
Oh, if you, like, a frenemy.
But, like, not so much a frenemy, but, like, if I had a friend that, like...
You know they lie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm a pretty trustworthy. Like, I trust most of my friends. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. If you don't trust them, then they
should be friends.
I don't really trust people that are not my friends. I mean, I wouldn't not trust somebody if they were my friend.
A healthy level of, well, are you telling me the truth for people you don't know?
No, I just mean like I wouldn't call somebody a friend if I didn't trust them.
I got that.
This is completely off topic, but I'm pretty sure that this water tasted like soap.
It probably did. The plastic will often take on the flavor of the Dove soap.
Interesting.
Any of us have any lightning bolt questions? Because those are all we got from the chat.
I'm good.
Good?
Yep.
Fan story?
Yes, please.
All right. This week comes from Robin Bricky. Shout out to her. I'll give her an electoral shout out at the end of her story.
Yeah, because she named her cats Swish and Flick, and that's amazing.
So Robin says, a friend gave me the first book, Sorcerer's Stone. Her kids were reading it in school and loved it. At 25, I was not interested at the time to read a children's book. But a few years later, when we had a trip planned to go on a cruise, I wanted some books to pass the time on the water. Book 3 was out by that time, so I borrowed all 3 from my friend for the trip. It was a 3-day cruise, and I read all 3 during that trip. Wow. I was hooked. As we were driving home early in the morning and in the dark, I started to fall asleep. I needed something more than music to keep me awake. I saw a Walmart and stopped, hoping they had an audiobook that would keep me interested and awake. Lo and behold, just sitting in its own cubby was the last available audiobook of Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, read by Jim Dale. Just having finished the third book, I was so stoked and excited to start the fourth and have it read to me. The next few hours on the road were magical until I just couldn't keep my eyes open. My husband, who had finally woken up, was hooked just from listening to book 4. So as the Quidditch World Cup chapter started, I took a nap and my husband drove us on home. After we got home, we purchased the first 3 books on audio tape and wore them out. Mm-hmm. Thanks to CDs and audio files for iPods and iPhones, I recovered those books. I have bought the series on audio files 3 times, books on tape, books on CD, and finally audio file. My husband and I got through Order of the Phoenix and then divorce happened. During that time, I had my dogs and Jim Dale reading Harry Potter to comfort me. I would run my iPod at night to go to sleep. It was comfort for some strange reason, even though my ex and I shared a love for Harry Potter and we were no longer together. The story itself was a comfort token for me. Then the heart attack happened. God gave me a second chance to get myself healthy. I started walking, then running with Jim Dale in my ear. Audiobooks helped me run better. With no music for...
Cadence,
thank you. I could concentrate on my form and get my running right. I also had a friend running with me. Mm-hmm. Then I met my wife, true love. Always finally made sense to me, but she only knew Harry Potter through the movies. I couldn't talk about the details in the books. She would look at me like I was insane. I am not crazy. My mother had me tested. Then the magic happened. We went on a trip to Disney World, and I was on Goblet of Fire, so I played it as I drove, and she got hooked. Our trip to Universal, Harry Potter World, was more special, too. She saw my love for the stories and was starting to understand that love. As our trip ended, my wife asked me to load the books on her iPhone, and a new love for Harry Potter was born. Over and over, she listens to the books as I do. Then we found Swish and Flick podcast, and a new love and a new appreciation for the books was born. Harry Potter and Jim Dale carried me through several trying times in my life as a comfort and a shining light. Now with my beautiful wife, we are enjoying the love, fun, and joy of the books and all the stories to come. Every year for my heart attack anniversary, we go to see a movie. I've seen all the Harry Potter movies that came out in November since my heart attack in 2010. This year, it's Crimes of Grindelwald. So excited. Joe is producing more and more stories. Thank you, ladies, for the love of this series and for doing this podcast. Ugh. First of all, I'm glad you're okay.
Correct.
Because that's super scary. Second, I'm glad that you are given a second chance at love. That is so awesome. Mm-hmm. And third, you are such a selfless person because you are so active in our group. Mm-hmm. You run for people, and just like seeing you tag someone and say, you know, God has you today. We ran for you today. It's so sweet. And
it
like,
makes me cry.
I know. Even if I'm not, like, she's tagged me a couple times, and it makes my day. And then I'll see her tag someone else, and that still makes my day.
And sometimes she'll tag somebody who, like, maybe I've talked to that day, and, like, I knew that they were having a hard day, and I was like, wow, what great timing that was.
Right?
Like, yeah, it's she's great.
Fantastic.
Thank you for sending your story.
How cool that, like, I just pulled stories at random, but, like, it seems like her magic book is Goblet of Fire.
Right, right.
And I picked it during Goblet of Fire, so very fitting.
I love
very fateful. So thank you very much, Robin, for sharing your story.
Yes, yes, thank you.
You're awesome.
All right. Social media.
All right, so
you can find us on Facebook at Swish and Flick Podcast and on Twitter and Instagram at Swish Flick Cast. And you can also subscribe to our YouTube channel. All of our podcasts are loaded there, as well as some vlogs. Lastly, you can support us on Patreon if you would like to. Our Patreon's patreon.com/swishflickcast. And you can have access to monthly hangouts with us, bonus episodes called The Felix Files, where we break down character analysis right now. Usually it's just like, right now we're doing character analysis, but we've done some other stuff too, like where we just talked about James and Lily or
Ilvermorny,
the Salem Witch Trials, those kinds of like fun topics. And then lastly, all the information on us is in one place at swishflickcast.com, and you can also find all of our merchandise there.
Yes.
Yep.
And we're going to be brainstorming new stuff.
All right. So,
and by the time this episode comes out, our Patreon will be relaunched and there's new things coming your way.
Woo-hoo!
So look out for that.
Yeah. Be on the lookout, patrons.
Plugging other things.
Yeah, what are you up to?
I just finished spring break.
And are you sad?
Yeah.
I don't blame you.
But like now it's like all downhill from here. Like my students are done testing. We're doing a bunch of like fun end of the year stuff. Like this is where we start like our geometry unit, which is always so much fun for me. And graphing. I don't know. That might sound weird to some people, but I enjoy teaching that. I don't know. Little Alana's not feeling so well. She's teething.
Poor thing.
Teething, dude. Teething is the worst. I don't know. Just living life.
Katie and I have a lot of stuff going on.
I don't have all day.
Well, I'll plug our YouTube channel because it's drastically changing this week. And I'm really excited about it because we are no longer Main Street 9 3/4. We've rebranded our YouTube channel as the Petrus Family, and we're becoming daily vloggers. So this doesn't mean that you're going to get like a 20-minute video from us every day. It could be 2 minutes. It could be 5 minutes. It could be 10 minutes. Like,
no 20 minutes.
It's going to depend on what we do that day. Like literally it could be us playing a board game at home or something.
Better
like,
be all building that Lego castle because
honestly,
I'm not touching it.
So when this comes out for our patrons will actually be day one of us daily vlogging. It'll be the first day that we have a video come out. No, it'll be the day before that. Next weekend. So when this comes out, we're starting daily vlogging. And we have a fun thing going on next weekend that we can't really talk about, but you guys will see it. And I'm really, really, really excited about it.
I know what it is.
I'm so excited about it.
It's a secret. Everyone just has to wait for our new channel. So.
Keep secrets.
Keep the secrets.
I don't know how to keep a secret.
So go follow us on social media. I've changed our social media handle on Twitter and Instagram to The Petrus Family, and our YouTube channel is The Petrus Family.
The YouTube channel is, I don't remember.
I haven't changed the link yet, but I'm working on it. By the time this comes out, it'll all be changed.
If you guys need any like design work, I know we usually plug our fun little Etsy shop, but me and Meg have launched Whimsy Creative Design. So we like to focus on wedding stuff, but I mean, we'll do anything. Invites, birthdays, rehearsals, graduation. It doesn't matter.
Business
like anything.
Design, branding.
Yeah, flyers.
Logo
like,
design.
Whatever you need, that kind of stuff. We do it all because, because we really enjoy it. And wanted to... we wanted to open it up and, you know, get our creative side.
I'd like to be a stay-at-home mom. It's not for free.
Get that creative side out as well. So, yeah, check us out. Facebook, Instagram.
Whimsy Creative Design.
Yeah.
I know that I told you guys a different name the last time we talked about this. It's official now,
though. Because it was a work in progress.
Whimsy Creative Design.
Done.
Sarah, what are you up to?
I don't really do much with my life. I just got back from California, which was great. And I'm just working on living and breathing and surviving every day. I'm officially going back to school, just not sure where or when. It's going to be a stressful couple of years.
But yeah,
you got this.
Yeah, you got
it. Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Katie and I should bring up that we got our 23andMe's back.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Oh, yeah. People were really interested in that.
I got mine back, and I am 43.1% British and Irish, 29.4% French and German, 7.3% Scandinavian, 0.4% Italian, and then it has 17.5% broadly Northwestern European, 0.2% broadly Southern European, 1.9% broadly European, and 0.1% North African and Arabian. And I think that is awesome.
Some of our stuff is pretty similar.
It's so cool to know.
Oh, yeah, I know for sure. So I am 99% European. Big surprise. 31% Eastern European. So I'm like Polish, Slovakian, Ukrainian, Hungarian, which I knew. 14.5% French and German, but mainly Germany, which I didn't know. That was cool to find out. 11.9%. from the United Kingdom and Ireland.
Woo, woo, woo.
Had no idea I was Irish, so this St. Patrick's Day was like extra special. Like,
come on. Okay.
I'm 7% Italian, which I had no idea.
That's her dad. We always wondered. Her dad was adopted, so we like never knew his heritage. But like he's got like her family, her like mom's side of the family is like blonde hair, like
super
light
pale.
Eyes, super pale. And then her dad was like dark hair, curly, like tanned super easily, and we were like, what could that be? Like, because she got a bit of her dad in him, like she's got the darker
got
hair
mix,
the
yeah.
wavy hair, like
yeah,
but dark
Italian.
Eyes but
really,
yeah, and Greek. I'm 6.5% Greek, so that's cool. And then 16.2% broadly Northwestern European.
You know what this means?
What?
We have to go to Italy.
I know, right? 5.6
Hey,
broadly Southern.
I'm part Italian, let's go.
Yeah.
Also, guys, 0.2% Ethiopian. Okay. I'm just saying.
That's awesome. I love all of this.
It's so cool. It's so cool. I highly recommend doing it. I was lucky to do it because Tiffany gave me a kit because, like, she's awesome.
You're welcome.
I think I'm
going
to do Ancestry.com to compare them.
Yeah, even if you, like Sarah knew she was Irish.
She knew a lot of her roots.
But I think it's so cool to just, like, see it.
Yeah. I think it's cool, too. For me, like when I looking at my ancestry, like I have a very strong line going back to Ireland, and I've been where my family has grown up. My great grandmother is from Achill, in County Mayo, and so I knew that. I've seen pictures of where she grew up and the church that she was at and the school that she was at, and I've been fortunate enough to walk inside that exact same church and everything, and then to see the website being like your number one place that you're from ancestry wise is County Mayo. And I was like, well, at least I know that you're right. Like, cause I've been there, I've seen it, and it's really cool. I will say though. So originally I was 98.1% Irish and British, and then it dropped down when I connected with my mom on the website to 96.3.
Oh no.
But I also find it interesting on my thing underneath it. It says Ireland and UK, and on your guys's, mm-hmm. it says UK and Ireland,
yeah.
which I'm like, that's interesting to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause it mostly matters.
It's mostly what, British. Yeah. Correct. Like, well, the larger majority of that correct. Percentage is British.
Yeah. Because and like I know for my, I have, English in me, like my dad's family, mm-hmm. Is British a little bit, like his great, like my, his mother was a Davis and I believe they came from, England, although they were in America longer than my Grandma Hagen, like my mom's parents' family. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So like that's her, my great grandmother, my Grandma Kilbane, my maternal great grandmother, both her and her husband are from Ireland, like straight off the bone. Mm-hmm. She never went back. If she went back, she would have never came back to Ohio.
Boy.
Yeah.
So those are fun personal facts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like my European one, my first one is Poland. And so like, me I know too. That I'm mostly Polish over.
Yeah.
I think the other one is Ukrainian. I don't know.
I don't know.
It's cool, man.
Very
it's
cool.
One would say super cool.
Yeah.
All right. So that's the last one for this episode. That concludes this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening, and don't let the muggles get you down.
Amazing! Just my voice!
Sweet manna from heaven.
You know what that's from?
Finding Nemo! Oh.
Vomit.
All right.
I am not ready.
I am.
Why is this not scrolling?
And I'm the only one that matters.
Hey. No, bro. Oh
my God, can we
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.